Our gospel reading today tells the story of faith appearing in unusual places. A powerful Roman centurion is powerless in the face of illness. He turns to Jesus, the healer, for help in an arena over which he has no power. After Jesus had finished all his sayings in the hearing of the people, he entered Capernaum. A centurion there had a slave whom he valued highly and who was ill and close to death. When he heard about Jesus, he sent some Jewish elders to him, asking him to come and heal his slave. When they came to Jesus, they appealed to him earnestly, saying, "He is worthy of having you do this for him, for he loves our people, and it is he who built our synagogue for us." And Jesus went with them, but when he was not far from the house, the centurion sent friends to say to him, "Lord, do not trouble yourself, for I am not worthy to have you come under my roof. Therefore, I did not presume to come to you. But only speak the word, and let my servant be healed. For I am also a man set under authority, with soldiers under me. And I say to one, 'Go,' and he goes, and to another, 'Come,' and he comes, and to my slave, 'Do this,' and the slave does it." When Jesus heard this, he was amazed at him. And turning to the crowd that followed him, he said, "I tell you, not even in Israel have I found such faith." When those who had been sent returned to the house, they found the slave in good health. Hear what the Spirit is saying to the church.
Every time we gather, there are some candles that get lit on this station over here. And the purpose of that is that as we bring what we bring to church, it's the worship committee struggle with how to honor all of what we bring. This was some years ago, and we could go around and we could ask each person, "What do you bring that you would like to give to God in prayer and entrust to God in prayer?" But and that would be a very good thing, but we would do nothing else. So how do we honor everything that people bring? And so we decided to create a candle lighting station and light a candle. And each one of those candles represents something of what one person in our community brings. Some person, some concern, some event that someone here is holding and is entrusting to God. And we join them as we look at this. We join them in that prayer. So this becomes a symbol of our collective carrying of the longings and concerns that are woven together among us. From the very first time we did this, about 4 or 5 years ago, I can't remember exactly how long ago it was, it was amazing to me because people got it. People understood. And it filled up very quickly. One of our problems has been not enough space in this to contain the longings and concerns of our people. It's become an amazing expression every week of a prayerful community gathered in hope and trust for healing and for life. So, although I don't know this for sure, I am guessing that one of these candles expresses a desire that Linda Tyler would find health and would find a kidney that would give her a new lease on life. I am guessing, I don't know this for sure, but I am guessing that one of these candles is in loving memory of Sam Zavaglia and is an expression of the desire that his family and his friends will remember him well, and an offering of gratitude for for his life. I know that many times candles were lit here and were an expression of the desire that my mother would find health, and later became an expression of compassion for my dad and my family after she died. I'm guessing that today, because yesterday was the walk for cystic fibrosis, the walk for a cure, that one of these candles may well be an expression of the desire that Jacqueline and Walt Melnichuk's granddaughter would find health. Hoping someday soon there will be a cure and a candle is lit. This is a table that is shining with longing and with trust and with hope and with vulnerability. For when it comes down to it, our lives are a crazy mingling of powerful grit and determination and utter mysterious blessing, and also what can feel like random fortune or misfortune. That's just the incredible, baffling mix of life. How one person can struggle right from the beginning while another person can dodge misfortune and illness for decades, I do not know. That is a mystery. And in some ways, this is shining with that baffling mystery. And so today we read the compelling healing story of the centurion's slave. And as we do that, I want to name that we are up against a baffling theological conundrum in the area of healing. And I've heard people say, God was really looking out for me, when they make it through a vulnerable moment in life. Somebody was watching over me. I've heard it more times than I can name. And I understand it at one level. We are more acutely aware after a serious health crisis or some kind of crisis in our life that our lives are not really in our own hands. But what happens when we don't make it? When things don't go the way we had hoped? When things don't go even the way that seems to point to life that might be fair? What do we do then? And what are we doing when we pray for healing? What kind of expectations are we placing on God? What are we saying about how we believe life works? These are deep questions. And I have no illusion that I will untangle them all right now. Here you go. That's not going to happen. However, I believe that what we pray and how we pray reveals a lot about what we believe about life and what we believe about God. And if we want to know what someone really believes, well, look at what and how they pray. And look at their pocketbook. Those are two real indications of what we invest our life in and what we believe. The people who came to Jesus figured Jesus had this mystery of prayer and healing sorted out. The local Roman centurion wanted Jesus, the healer, to come and heal one of his key administrative officers. And the Jewish establishment knew this guy well. He'd been really good to them. Built the town hall. Surely if anyone deserves the spiritual goods that Jesus brings, this guy did. And so the people frame the question of healing and prayer in terms of whether we've earned it, whether we're worthy, whether we deserve it. But even before they get to the centurion's place, word is brought to Jesus. This commander used to saying, jump, and people jump, used to getting things done, is powerless in the realm of healing, and he knows it. And sees himself as unworthy of a house call from Jesus. Even he has chalked it up to whether or not he deserves it. He frames the question, is it worth Jesus? Am I worth Jesus' trouble? That's really at the core of it. But the thing that really catches Jesus' attention is how humbly he trusts that healing is possible. I am over my head, but I believe you are not. So help me. That's the message. And that acknowledgement and trust is what the whole story turns on, and what is most impressive in Jesus' response. Wow, I have never seen, even in Israel, I've never seen faith like that. So as we puzzle through this mysterious realm of prayer and healing, it is a relief to me to know that for Jesus, it's not about deserving it.
Amen.
Or being worthy of it. By the way, I've just been to Atlanta, Georgia. Right? So preaching is a thing we do here. Right? So if anybody wants to take a leaf out of Gina's book, you just go right ahead. I'm over my head. That's the message. But you're not, Jesus. That's the message. And it's a relief to know that when we are over our head and when we struggle with whether or not we deserve it, that's not an issue in Jesus' book. It's not an issue in God's book. There is no ledger. But here, we see that familiar place where there is a gap in the power between what we feel able to cope with and what seems to be needed. This guy and everyone around him is over his head. There's a gap. And this and so many other stories, it would appear that in those times when there's that great big gap, humbleness matters. There's no room in these situations for arrogance or for demanding. Kneeling, it's no big accident that kneeling has been for centuries the posture of prayer. Humility matters. A flickering candle kind of says it all. Vulnerability is what we bring. The question of healing is particularly challenging in the 21st century. Excuse me. And especially for Western people. In a society used to making it work by our own cleverness. About closing the gap with our own ingenuity. Modern medicine has pushed the mystery and the vulnerability as far away as possible. People used to be at a loss to know what to do far sooner than we are now. Far earlier in the disease process, people would throw up their hands and say, I don't know. Let's turn to the great mystery. Whereas people used to pray, pretty much at the first sniffle or cough. We wash our hands more regularly and we reach for the antibiotics. So we often only pray when we come across the gap in our ability to command the universe and it obeys. We are the centurion, you see. But when the universe stops obeying, then we confront mystery and we turn to God. And this, I believe, is a reflection more of our human nature than it is of the way God works. Because I understand it. I live in that world. I like to take the reins. And God gives us abilities and creativity and cleverness in order for us to do exactly that. It makes no sense to ignore good hygiene and wonder why God would let an infection happen. We do know things about health and healing, but God is not confined only to the places where our knowledge runs out. God does not conform to and stay within the box created by our willingness to acknowledge the mystery behind it all. The things we think we can figure out and the things that remain beyond us. That is not a line that God draws. God is the God of all of it. And we tend to acknowledge, though we tend to acknowledge God at a later stage, as a last resort, when our cleverness runs dry, well, that just makes us like the immature teen wanting independence, wanting to do it myself, back off, go away, and God, like the wise parent, knows more than we think, is more present than we know, has good parental connection with everything, eyes in the back of her head and all, is ever close but incognito. Watchful, patient, loving. God will be God. And what we think about that and how we define God has nothing to do with it. Or as our United Church Song of Faith puts it, holy mystery, beyond complete knowledge, above perfect description, and yet in love seeks relationship. God will be God, unconfined by us, mystery behind and beneath it all. And so our prayers, I don't think our prayers influence God's mind on things, although that's often the way they're framed. Our prayers, our candles, are really humble expressions of our hope and our longing. And that expressed weaves its way into the activity of God in the world and makes its loving difference. That is the place where the mystery of God meets us and bears down on the places in life where that longing is genuine and where our trust is open. These two things, longing and trust, seem to be common elements present not only in the healing stories of Jesus, but in life when we find ourselves like the centurion found himself, longing for healing, in humble trust in the face of life's mystery. As you can see, I don't have it figured all out. I don't know why sometimes things take a turn for the better and at other times they take a turn for the worse. But in this season of Pentecost, Our imaginations are stirred by spirit, blowing like the wind, kindled like a fire, moving and whispering in the midst of life's mystery, messages of hope, of courage, of love and of peace. Perhaps the prayers, perhaps the candles are our humble and vulnerable attempt to whisper back. Perhaps that's where faith is found. Amen.